Uh-oh. What could that be? Oh, guys, I don't know. Sounds a little bit dangerous if you ask me. Oh, gosh, no! No, not violence, no! Yep, that's right, everybody. It's Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, the great sequel to Disney's original Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I'm your host, Amanda the Hoser, and I am so glad to be with you today. I'm back from that little hiatus, or is that how you say it? Hiatus? Anyway, that's how I say it. It's great to be back with you all today. I just love talking about Rick for hours on end. No, I try to keep these between 25 and 30 minutes long. A person can only listen to my voice for so long before their ears start to bleed. I guess we should jump right back in and talk about this fantastic movie. Honey, I Blew Up the Kid is the 1992 sequel to 1989's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's a fantastic movie in its own right. Sure, it's a little bit gimmicky and maybe a little bit predictable or, something like that. But it's a fun movie. I just love watching this movie because the aesthetic of it is so perfect. It reminds me of Epcot and, like the Imagination Institute at Epcot, and it just gives me such a good feeling. It like brings me into summer mode, and I know that my friend on Twitter, WeirdNerd42, if you're listening to this, hiya, I know he likes it as much as I do, and for the quality and content of Rick and his character, Wayne Szalinski, this movie is like the pinnacle of Wayne Szalinski because it's got a lot of heart. Even though it's kind of dumb, it's kind of just like an average day for the Szalinski family. And I just think it's really fun. It's not cinematic in the way that Honey, I Shrunk the Kids was or a lot of other movies are, but it's a fun movie. It's really, really fun. It's like it's a perfect Disney movie, Except there's no musical numbers. Oh, speaking of, Bruce, I don't know how to say his last name. Broughton? Broughton? I guess that's it. It's funny. He's like my second favorite composer, and I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But he did the music for this, and he did the music for Honey, I Shrunk the Audience, too. And which I talked about before, and he also did the music for a lot of Epcot rides and such. So I think he was a perfect choice to replace our dear James Horner, who I also love very, very, very much. Both my favorite composers got to work with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids franchise, so I'm really happy. And we all know how poor James Horner, his music got Disney sued for using pieces from other people's works for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but thank God Bruce didn't get Disney sued with his piece. Well, Disney did get sued for this movie in another way, though. I'll talk about that later. First, I guess I should go right into the synopsis. So, it's probably about 3 years after Honey, I Shrunk the Kids takes place. Makes sense, 'cause Amy's going to college. I guess she was like a sophomore in the first movie, something like that. It seems accurate. And I know it's about 3 years later because the Szalinskis have a 2-year-old kid, and I guess that Wayne and Diane were pretty happy to have their kids back at the end of the first movie, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But there's a 2-year-old kid, Adam, and we have, the rest of the family, Wayne, Diane, Amy, and Nick. Amy is going off to college, and Diane takes her there. So in the beginning of the movie, we just have Wayne and Nick and Adam, and Wayne's trying to connect with Nick because Nick is not that into science anymore. He's more into like guitars and girls and typical teenage boy stuff. But he's a very nice teenage boy. A lot of movies, the teenage kids are like jerks to their parents, but Nick is so nice to his dad and his mom, and he's like, he likes hanging out with his dad. It's cute. It makes me so happy because, like, if I had a dad that cool, darn right, I'd be hanging out with him. Not that my dad's not cool. My dad is cool. I like to hang out with him. But I'm just saying it's nice to see this in a movie. Nick kind of reminds me of, like, Max from a Goofy movie in a way. But, you know, when Max gets, like, smart and realizes that his dad's cool. Not when he's being a jerk, you know. But they have, like, a similar, feel, that 90s Disney boy type of feel. But not like the dorky kind. Well, they are dorks, but like not the real like, oh, what is this kid doing kind. Like, you know, what am I saying? Anyway, Wayne is like, oh, okay, so Nick, you want to do something with me tomorrow? And he's like, yeah, sure, Dad. So Wayne's like, okay, we'll have to bring the baby too. So he takes them to the lab that he now works at. He works for Sterling Labs now. He's not his own individual scientist anymore. He works with a bunch of other scientists. And that also means that he has to share his invention. He has to let them tinker with his inventions and test his inventions and... he's part of a team, so he has to share his findings and all his work. And that's kind of a struggle because he's used to working as a one-man band, you know. And he sneaks into the lab with his sons to show them what it's like and to show them the machine and see if they can, like, touch up the machine a little bit because... it's not doing exactly what everybody wants it to do. It's supposed to enlarge in things, but it isn't really working quite right. And the guy who's in charge of the operation, Dr. Hendrickson, he is a jerk. He is such a jerk. Oh, even the way he does his hair makes him a jerk. He slicks it back, and it's disgusting. And he thinks he's, like, the coolest person on Earth. And he's untouchable, and he's just such a jerk to Wayne that it breaks my heart. Anyway, they go to the lab, and they look around, and they're like, okay, let's see if we can make this thing work properly. So Nick is helping Wayne to tinker with it. And meanwhile, they have Adam sitting in his chair. And Wayne's like, ooh, okay, hey, Adam, can I borrow your big bunny? Big bunny's Adam's favorite stuffed animal. Which calms him down, and, you know, he just loves holding on to it. And he's like, come on, let's see if I can make Big Bunny, really Big Bunny. So he puts it on the target area, and they shoot the laser at it, but there's a power surge, and everything starts going crazy. And while this is happening, Adam sneaks out of his chair, and he grabs Big Bunny, but he gets electrocuted by the laser beam from the machine, so... he and Big Bunny have both been struck with this laser beam, and Adam just laughs, and he gets back in his chair with Big Bunny. And Wayne and Nick do not really realize this, so they think that everything's fine and that the machine just didn't work. So they go back home, and on the way home, Adam's in the back screaming, I'm big! I'm big! And this means nothing to them, even though it's like foreshadowing the rest of the movie. Because, of course, it just seems like baby talk to them. Wayne is like, once they get home, he's like, okay, we can do something else if you want. We could see a movie. And Nick's like, yeah, sure. And so Wayne's like, all right, I'll call a babysitter. So he calls a babysitter, and the babysitter just happens to be Nick's love interest, his crush, this girl named Mandy. Nice name, by the way. So she gets hired, and... Wayne cooks lunch for Adam. It's really a cute scene. Fun fact, the way that Rick did most of the scenes with the twins who played Adam, Daniel and Joshua Shalikar, they improvised. Rick improvised most of the dialogue between him and the baby because, well, they were 2 years old at the time, so... it's hard to get a two-year-old to say anything on cue, so they just kind of went with it. And I love how he asks the kid what he wants for lunch, and Adam goes, duck. And Rick goes, "The duck? The duck isn't very good." It's really cute. So anyway, whenever Adam is around an electrical machine, any sort of electricity really, there's a flux around it. So that sparks the laser that he's been shot with. It makes him grow. So Adam starts growing while Nick and Wayne are in the other room, and then they're like, "Oh, what's that sound?" And so then this giant baby stomps into the room, and they're like, "Oh no, what happened here?" And they realize that he's been struck by the laser, and they're like, "All right, we have to fix this somehow." So they try going back to the lab. He's not supposed to be in there on the weekend, but he goes in anyway. Like, he wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. So I guess this movie sort of says, follow the rules and you won't get hurt for the most part. So, you know what's really funny? The scene where Wayne comes out of the Big and Tall store is like iconic because Rick is only like 5'3", 5'4". It's the funniest thing because this thing, he runs out of the store quick as a whip, and this guy, there's like this tall guy who like gives them this glare. He's like, "What are you doing in the store, you small man?" And Rick just looks up at him. He runs to the car. He throws the bags in through the window, and they zoom off to the lab, and it's the funniest thing. Oh, I don't know. I didn't mention this, I don't think, but in the first movie, the Zelinskys lived in California, but for some reason, they decided to move to Las Vegas in this movie. I guess because Wayne got some money for his invention, and they're like, "Oh, hey, we can live in a nicer house now in a nicer place." Oh, fun fact, the house that they used in this movie is the Poltergeist house. Yeah, I was like, "What? What?" Because I watched like 10 minutes of that movie, and then I was like, "Ooh, no, I can't watch this. I can't watch this." So I turned it off. And I just think it's kind of creepy because this movie is so wholesome and friendly, and Poltergeist is so scary and not wholesome and friendly. So it's like opposites, you know. So they try to get Adam shrunk to his normal size again, but guess who's there? The jerk! Ah, that jerk. He's like, "Get out of here, get out of here, what are you doing here?" So they end up going home, and then Diane comes home, and the scene where she's like, "Hi, I'm home," and he pulls into the driveway. Rick takes a look at her, and he pulls right back out of the driveway and starts driving away. She's like, "What?" And Nick's like, "Come on, Dad, we have to go home. We can't hide forever." So they end up they end up going back, and he's like, "Hi, honey. Yeah, I kind of blew up the baby," and she faints. Diane faints. That's like the running gag in these movies. All three movies, Diane faints. Even the fake Diane faints. I don't know if she ever fainted in the TV show, but like whenever she finds out that one of Wayne's machines has either shrunken or enlarged someone, she faints. It's an appropriate response, I must say. So when Diane comes to, she's like, "All right, we have to see how we can fix this. Maybe if we go back to the lab, someone there will know what they're doing." And Wayne is like, "Of course." He feels real bad because he thinks that she doesn't have faith in him, but she does. He just doesn't realize it. And she just wants her kid back to normal size, and it's sad for everybody. But he's like, "Wait, my original machine is in the lab security warehouse. We can go find that." So they go and they find that, and it takes a lot of effort because it's a ginormous place, and they have to find it. So meanwhile, the babysitter shows up, and Nick is watching Adam, and he's like, "Oh, we don't need a babysitter anymore." And she's like, "I'm already charging you by the hour, so I think you should really just let me in. I don't think I'm pretty sure I can't handle I can't not handle a stupid baby. And then Adam comes to the door, and he's enormous, and she faints, and Nick catches her in his arms, and since he likes this girl, his face is like, whoa, whoa, I'm like holding her. His reaction's so funny. Nick ties her up with a gag around her mouth, and he ties her to the chair, and it's so funny. It's like, what are you doing? Because I guess she screams every time that she sees Adam. So to keep her from screaming, he did that. And I'm pretty sure that's how this movie became PG. Because they didn't want kids to start tying up their friends like that. But in other movies, in other countries, it's alright. Because in other countries, this movie is like G or U. But here, in America, it's PG. So then Adam breaks out of the house. He literally busts a hole through the wall, and that's pretty nice. He's really tall by this point. And then he starts playing in the streets, and then that guy, the jerk from earlier, sees him, and he's like, oh, so that's what Zelensky did. So he calls these, like, I don't know, they're kind of weird people. It's like a SWAT team, but it's like the evil SWAT team. And they like capture Adam. They're like, okay, we're gonna like detain this kid because he's like a hazard to the neighborhood, so we're just gonna take him. So they put him in this big truck, and they're like, don't worry, Nick, your brother thinks that's a big playpen. And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, because earlier in the movie Adam keeps getting out of his playpen even though Wayne thinks he's fixed it, so he can't. So that sort of foreshadows this, too. So Adam breaks out of this truck, which was running along this road that has electrical wires on either side. So he was growing bigger anyway. So he gets out, and he's huge. So he picks up Nick and Mandy, played by Kerry Russell. This was her first movie, by the way. He picks them up, he puts them in his pocket, and he starts stomping around all happy, and he sees all the little people, and Wayne and Diane are down there. Only after Wayne had a sort of a tantrum, though. He came back and saw that his kid was gone, and he was livid. They had to, like, grab him and, like, hold him back from punching some people. Would have knocked him out cold, I'm sure. It was great. But he and Diane are down there. They have the shrink ray, but they need Adam to sit still so that they can shoot it at him. And that's, like, impossible. He's dancing around having a grand old time as, like, a 50-foot-tall person. And he's 2 years old, so he doesn't know what he's doing. He just sees them, and he thinks they're, like, toys, you know? So then he starts heading towards Las Vegas, like, the casino area, and because he sees the bright lights, and, of course, that's pretty. Yeah, so poor Nick and Mandy are stuck in his pocket and his little Oshkosh bagosh overalls. And everyone's like, okay, we gotta get this kid, but yeah, let's head towards Las Vegas because that's where he's going. And at the same time, that jerk is like setting up his team. He's like, all right, we can shoot him with some tranquilizer darts, and they're enormous. They're like the kind you would use on an elephant, I guess. And these other guys are like, you sure we can do this? I wouldn't want my kid shot with that. And the guy's like, please, we have to do this. And so he gets some old guy to like fly a helicopter and try to shoot it at him. But beforehand, they get Wayne and Diane get this nice cop guy to try to lure Adam away from the city in an ice cream truck, because Adam loves ice cream, and he knows the sound of the ice cream truck, so he gets this cop to burn rubber, as he called it, and zoom down the street. But Adam starts gaining on him. He grabs the electrical ice cream from the top of the truck, and he starts eating it, and I was like, oh boy. He also drops Nick and Mandy into a car, which he thinks is a toy car, and he starts zooming them around, and it's like, oh my gosh. Oh, fun fact, when Nick and Mandy fall into the car, for like 2 seconds, or maybe less than 2 seconds, you can see Kerry Russell's stunt double, who's like 40 years old. She's a lot older than a teenager, and it's like, oh, geez, you should have like, I don't know, you could have used a different shot of that, because it's pretty funny if you catch it. It's towards the end of the movie, not exactly, but it's towards the end, if you're curious. At this point, everybody's like, oh my gosh, this giant baby is terrorizing the city, and we need to get him, you know? It's all over the news and everything, and Wayne's like, wait, I know how we can do this! And so they get Big Bunny, they fly Big Bunny in on a helicopter, and they put Wayne on top, and he starts singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and he's trying to get Adam to go to sleep so they can shoot him with the laser and shrink him back to normal size, but once he hears the word nap, Adam has a tantrum, and he's like, yeah, screw that, no way, Pops, get away! And they have to keep trying, and eventually Diane's like, honey, he needs me! He needs to see his mom, because he doesn't really see his parents, he doesn't see anybody, because he thinks they're all like toys, you know, he's 2 years old. So Wayne enlarges Diane, and she's like, Adam, and he's like, Mom! And she also gets real mad at the guy who was trying to shoot the tranquilizer darts at him, and she's like, yo, back off! And they're like, yes, ma'am, because she's enormous, and they're like, tiny. She could easily crunch their helicopter. So then, they finally get Adam to sit still, and Wayne shoots both Diane and Adam with the laser, and they shrink back to normal size, and everyone's happy! Yay! I just flailed my arms around like Kermit the Frog, in case you were wondering. Well, I mean, everyone's happy, but Nick and Mandy are really, really tiny. They're stuck in that car because it fell out of Adam's pocket. He had a little hole at the bottom of his pocket, and too funny. They're like, wait, hold on, we lost some kids, we're just gonna like clear the area and look for them. And they finally find them. They see Wayne sees Nick and Mandy happy in the car, and he's like, ah, we'll just leave them. And at the end, everything's basically normal. Except Big Bunny is still enormous, and they're like, okay, we need to fix this later. And the credits roll, and, you know, it's a happy ending. It's a great movie. It's just so funny. I must say that I guess the part in the city, like, where they're trying to make him small again, it kind of runs a little bit long at times. Like, if I were editing it, I'd probably try to edit it down a little bit. But it's fun. It doesn't detract from the movie, I guess, but it's just a little bit long sometimes. It's like, alright, come on, pick up. But it's fun. Okay, so a little bit more trivia. This movie was originally going to be called Honey, I Blew Up the Baby, but then Disney was like, wait, no, it's not okay to blow up babies, but it's alright to blow up kids. We can blow up some kids. So they went with Honey, I Blew Up the Kid, because who likes kids anyway? This movie actually was not going to be a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids sequel at first. It was going to be called Big Baby, and it was rewritten after the success of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So they basically just changed the parts to the characters from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Amy didn't have a counterpart in the original script, so they kind of just said, alright, well, we'll just write her into the beginning and say that she's going to college, so we don't just disregard her. So then, that's what they did, and it was an easy fix. So that explains her brief cameo in the beginning of the movie. But before that, this guy named Paul Alter, he sued Disney because apparently he wrote a similar screenplay called Now That's a Baby! And yes, you have to say it that way when you say that title. But yeah, he wrote this movie, and not this movie, but he wrote a movie, and it was supposed to be just like this, basically. And he said that Disney stole his idea, and in court, the ruling was that Disney was somewhat responsible. So Disney paid him $300,000 as an apology, because this guy won. He was like, he stole my movie. I don't think they really did, because I mean, anybody really could have thought of this. In fact, he might have thought of it after watching Honey, I Shrunk the Kids himself. There's a lot of suing that goes on behind the scenes of the Honey franchise. I don't know why, but it just, they can't get away from it. Although I don't think the third movie has any suing, as far as I know at the moment. That movie's weird. I'll do that one in the near future. Next week though, I'm doing Honey, no, I'm not doing, no. No, next week I'm doing My Blue Heaven, because that was the runner-up in the poll that I ran to see what movie I should cover next. Yay! So, yeah, that's just about it. I would like to thank you all so much for listening in to my podcast. It's great to be back, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode of the Rickcast. Oh, before I go, I just wanted to say that since the last episode, Ecto Cooler has come back to the shelves. I haven't gotten any yet, because I'm not sure if ShopRite has stocked it yet, or at least my ShopRite, but I'm gonna get it as soon as I find it. And Campfire, the company Campfire, has put out Ghostbusters marshmallows, which are delicious. They're coming, they come in green and white, and they come in little shapes like ghosts and Slimer, and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and it's really cute. So I definitely recommend going out and buying those. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening in. I love you all. Bye, hosers.